divorce and remarry.
Find what is beyond his means. This does not mean that to give relief to others, you ought to make things difficult for yourselves. It is a question of balancing. What happens to be your surplus now against their present need, and one day they may have something to spare that will supply your own need. This is how we strike a balance, as Scripture says. The man who gathered much had none too much. The man who gathered little did not go short. So today we're going to be talking about stewardship and tithing and possession and relationships and what our Lord really wants us to do according to the sacred scriptures and, of course, the Catechism of the Catholic Church. You know, this is a time where we're preparing for Lent, and it's a time of sacrifice or almsgiving, and we need to understand that it's not just a ritual that we do, but that has a deeper meaning to touch the inner core of our spiritual life and to form us into better Christian men and women. So that's why I invited Donald Nicholson today. You know, Don, I've known Don for probably 8 or 9 years now, and he's the president and founder of Donald Nicholson and Associates. You've heard him on the air with me before. He's recognized, by the way, in Philadelphia Magazine and was recognized as a 5-star wealth manager in 2016. He was recognized in Delaware Today as a 5-star wealth manager. He was honored as Worths Magazine. By the way, if you're not into financial things, it's a very important magazine. Listed in the top 250 as a wealth advisor. He delivers comprehensive advisory services to individuals, organizations, institutions, small business, and nonprofits. The guy is nationally known. He's a very good Catholic man. He and his son run this firm, and I can tell you from personal experience that he lives what he teaches. And I don't want to have guests on the air who just preach or don't live the gospel message, as we had Michael Norton on last week talking about Man Up Philly. He shared some of his personal story. And next week we'll be talking about annulments with Dr. Carol Houghton, who is the Chancellor of the Diocese of Harrisburg. She's a canon lawyer. So, friends, this is a woman who knows her information, and there's a lot of misinformation. And as we hear on the news, fake news in the public arena. So the same is for financial advisors. Also, you may be so confused as to what to do with your money. What does the Lord want? What's happening in the world? And Donald is going to bring, you know, his expertise, and he's living this every day. So call your friends, because this is a program you don't want to miss. And we're going to be talking about this question. Are you spiritually bankrupt? And how much have you deposited into your spiritual bank account? We know the answer of that spiritually. If you haven't been to confession, you haven't been to Mass, if you haven't raised your family in the faith, you know, that's where you're spiritually bankrupt. But also there's a flip side to this, friends, a flip side. And I believe that as we approach Lent next Wednesday, that we need to take a look at how we fast, how we participate in almsgiving, and how we prepare our families and our own spiritual journey with the Lord. So, as usual, I can only thank you for listening to Thy Will Be Done, which was called forth by the Lord for this ministry for such a time as this. Before we even begin, and Don calls in from Delaware in the midst of his busy, busy schedule, I want to tell you about the 40th anniversary celebration of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Yes, you're listening to it. 40 years. 40 years on the air. Long before anyone ever thought about being on the air with Catholic Radio, Dominic Lettieri sat under the steps of his home in Havertown, Pennsylvania, and began broadcasting. And today we are here in a professional studio broadcasting all over the world. So we are really happy to be with you. But I want you to mark your calendar. You ready? Sunday, April 30th, from 1:30 to 5:30 p.m. at Malvern Retreat House. It's a Sunday. No football. You should be clear. The Phillies could be on, I'm not sure. But this is a wonderful afternoon at Malvern Retreat House in Malvern, Pennsylvania. Sunday, April 30th, it's the big celebratory anniversary celebration of 40 years on radio by In His Sign Catholic Radio. Give a call to Maureen Powers here at the studio if you're interested. You know, we expect a full house. Kathleen has many, many surprises for all of you. Surprise guests, surprise people in the audience. So you don't want to miss it. It's going to be an afternoon of joy and healing. And we need to celebrate what the Lord has planned for the next 40 years. Who will be in the broadcasting seat? Who will be the head of this apostolate in 40 years? I know Kathleen would love to be, but she's up there in age and so am I. And so, you know, what is the Lord calling forth for this ministry as we go forth? We know that the additional programming that Kathleen accepted last spring from WTMR, the 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m., 5 days a week, is a very hefty commitment. My, oh my, how the Lord has honored this commitment. It's been unbelievable. All the bills have been met right to a dime, and how God has really blessed this apostolate because she stepped out in faith, knowing the Lord wanted it. Again, we have no idea who our listening audience is at this period of time, but we believe that if it's just you, my friend, if it's just you listening in your car, in the kitchen, at work, in a nursing home, on the Schuylkill Expressway or I-95 or the Parkway in New Jersey, that this program is meant for you. And so if you have some confusion today about your finances and tithing and the talents and possessions the Lord has placed in your heart, this is the program with you because we are so blessed to have one of the top wealth advisors in the United States with us today, nationally known. If you Google his name, you will see many, many accolades. And he's the founder of the Alzheimer's Association in Delaware as well. That's Donald W. Nicholson and Associates from the state of Delaware. And I believe he is on the phone. Hold on, please. Don?
Yeah.
Hi, you're live on the air.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we yes, really, quite clear. It's wonderful. Thank you for saying yes in the midst of your busy schedule today to be with
you're welcome. Oh, you're more than welcome.
And you...
Beautiful day to be outside, excuse me.
Well, it is, and I would love to be broadcasting outside with you on a patio. Maybe someday the Lord will set that up. But in the meantime, we've had you on the air before, and you are a man of faith, and I love the topic that you chose today about being a good steward and how are we spiritually responsible and financially responsible for what the Lord has given us.
Yeah, you know, when you've asked me to do this, it's not like I'm doing this for the first time. You're correct. But with today's world spinning around, it's hard for, in my opinion, for people to grab on to something, a railing of supports from somewhere. And of course, you know, the Lord does that. He said a long time ago, you know, it's trying to be faithful steward of your time as well as your money, your talents, possessions, and relationship, and how important that is. I think we ignore the real time, the diamonds of simplicity. We're seeking instead of the illusionary rhinestones of complexity. I think in business, you know, we kind of spend too much emphasis on what can be counted and what not nearly enough on trusting and being trusted. I think the majority of people in this country right now are looking at a lot of things, but today I was going to try and keep it simple, and if anyone wants to talk more about this, we sure can go into it. A friend of mine gave me some headings of where I might start. They know me well, but you tapped on that very well, and about being spiritually bankrupt. It doesn't mean that you don't have money. It just means you're losing hope, and you need to instill or to find a way to enhance on that situation more for yourself and your families. We actually do the opposite. We kind of force ourselves to behave more like business and not like people,
mm-hmm.
And that's unfortunate. You know, it was just my opinion, but I think we have more than enough of fool's gold of marketing and salesmanship, but we don't have enough of the real gold of trusteeship and stewardship.
Well,
there needs to be a balance that's taken into, and I think that's exactly what he's coming to do. That's what he wants us to do, be responsible. He's given us these gifts. We should be, not just the financial gifts, the life gifts, we should be looking at that more and more and praying hard for those and helping those other people out there that do need the help.
Tell our listeners, Don, how you integrate spirituality with leading someone through faithful stewardship. Is it totally part of your practice in your business today, or is it just something if someone asks? And take our listeners on a journey of what you believe is important when you sit down with a new client and bringing mm-hmm. them to understand God's plan for their life.
Good question. Well, again, the thing there is the time they spend with me is important, and it's the stewardship of what I'm looking for them. And when I sit down with them, I ask them questions. This is not about me. What it is about them. And so it's like a confessional of sorts. In some cases it is, and that's interesting. But the key is that what do you want to do? What do you want to be when you grow up? And it doesn't mean to take it in a negative way. It sounds that way. But people smile at that more than enough to know that, how do I go about doing what I need? Well, we go over expenses, yes, we go over their finances to see where they stand. If they have savings or investments, we look at that. But each portal that we look at, we're asking them questions, and probably a lot of questions. And I think they get it. I think they like that, because most of financial institutions, they do it a lot differently. I think there's too much emphasis on salesmanship and not on stewardship.
Well,
by doing that and going down with a family or individuals, that's challenging, because there's never one that I found that was the same. I recently had, she's a widow. She's 76 years old. Her son passed away recently, and her husband passed away about a little over a year, 2 years ago. And she has a house. It's fully paid. But the form of savings went to five children. Not that the five children don't kick in and take care of mom and dad, but it's not happening. And I said, well, what do you want to do? She says to me, well, I like to take some trips with my friends. And she can do that, but she feels uncomfortable with it, because she knows in her own mind that she tried to be the best steward that she could. So what I'm trying to do is to find a way to enhance that without her spending all her money and making sure she does the right thing. And it's kind of nice to see how elated she gets, because somebody's given her some ideas of hope that she can do things. It's funny how the parents hold in on things about themselves with the children, because they don't want the children to worry. Well, the children might be worried but not telling it either, so it's a two-edged sword. Talk to your children.
Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Thy Will Be Done, and our special guest today is Don Nicholson of Donald W. Nicholson and Associates in Delaware. We're talking about stewardship and faithful, I love to call it faithful stewardship in terms mm-hmm. of one's life and the money that we're accounting for, and also the possessions. Don, you're talking about this 76-year-old woman. You possibly cannot be the first person to ask her, what do you want to do when you grow up? but is it an eye-opener for someone, for example, who's 76 years old, that you ask that question as a financial advisor?
Well, I can't speak for the financial industry, but I do know that there are ones out there that do care. And we're fee-only, so the objectivity there, it takes the off the plate. They don't have to worry about they're going to get it pitched for a product or service. And we're fairly registered to that job as a registered investment advisor. But when people come, we don't always look to invest, and there might not be something I can help them with now. I'll give you an example. Well, I won't mention the dollar amount, but the key is that this gentleman has made the money at 50, doesn't know what he wants to do. And he asked, what should we do? And I said, nothing. you've got income, you have no debt, you've got some good expenses coming in. Your investments definitely need to be looked at because of the amount, but right now, I wouldn't do anything. And he said to me, you're kidding. I said, no, it's time and place for everything. And he said, well, you're the first one out of four people that talked to me.
Really?
I said, well, thank you. Again, it doesn't always work to who you go to. And I, too, it's in this industry, it's finding, and I don't want to get too much in this industry as I do want in stewardship, but the industry's out there, and there's a lot of people who you can talk to. And most of the time, it comes out of referrals. Who do you do that helped you? But there are websites, that are on there, and they have. You can get ahead of time. They're professional stewardship of how they are and what they do and how they do things, and determine if you want to meet with them or not, so that they know more. So they know something about them. I don't know. It's it doesn't make any difference the age of the individuals because we have third generation families, but because we've been doing this quite a while. But it's kind of nice to see the family growing. And the thing with the family is trying to, over time, is to see how they can be better stewards. I have 9 grandchildren, and the older ones have fit into a position where I gave them, the parents, a book for the children to know and understand the basics of things about life, things about, what is a checkbook, what is an accounting book. And you go from the ages of 5 up to 21. And it wasn't written by me, but a woman I met on one of the national radio shows back in the day. And just yesterday, I went with the grandmother of this book. I forgot that I recommended it to her because she liked it. And she's in her 60s, which is fine because it was basic stuff. There was no pitch. She loved it. So she knew that she was going in the right direction with her possessions and what to do. And sure enough, she reminded me. I bumped into her at a coffee shop, and she said, I told my children to buy this book. It's so good. It's $10. She said, I'm learning some things about this that I didn't know.
Wait. Tell our listeners the name of the book.
I didn't feel get the book because I don't have the.
Okay. I won't put you on the spot again, but
perhaps. No. But I'll get the. I'll have a break. I'll get the name of the book. But the thing is, it was doing the basics.
Mm-hmm.
And his grandmother came up and hugged me. She says, their kids are doing great, and they're all adults. And there's a radio show, there's a TV show yesterday morning, when they were talking about children growing up. Does it get easier? It doesn't. So here's just another way of being better, yes, better steward of your time, your money, talents, your possessions. If I may, my grandchildren, the older ones, they had a lemonade stand, and it was kind of neat to watch them interact with people coming in. And boy, they got great parents.
Yes,
because I'm prejudiced, but the oldest one said, "Daddy, we want to do something with this money. We want to," and she mentioned about giving to people less fortunate. At that time, she was 10, I believe. So they did. It was not a lot of money, but it was $42, and they gave it to a local community. Now, isn't that neat? Learning at a younger age on how to do things. As we get older, we go up and down, and we learn. It's simplicity. Again, it doesn't have to be false hopes in that you can't do something. It's there to work. And guys, they're all the way. We seem to think that we have to trust in ourselves. Are you kidding me? We got to trust in him. He's the one that's driving the car here. And we sometimes get caught up in our daily times with a sickness or a death or something that's come to affect us. He knows it's important. And he's given us some laws that govern us through how to give for stewardship and possessions. He's already told us that. But it's all how you feel in your life cycle that you're in.
Well, I would like to talk about, at this time in history and with the news, people are scared, Don. They're scared. Mm-hmm. So they're gathering every penny they have, every possession they have, because they're scared. From a biblical perspective and as a wealth manager and advisor, what would you say to the people today who are just plain scared and making poor decisions out of this fear?
Well, it's like a trip. If we don't plan to take the trip, then what good is it and how are we going to get there? And it goes back to the basics. Because, you know, if we're listening to him a lot, speaking a little bit, and we don't get angry over it, we're in good shape. But we have to know how to prepare for that journey. If I'm going to Florida to pick that, well, how are we going to get there? How are we going to drive a car? Are we going to fly a plane? What are we going to do? What clothes are we going to take? Do we send them ahead? Do we drive down in the car with them? We go through a plethora of different thoughts of how we're going to have that peace of mind to get there. It's exactly what Scripture says. No matter what area you're reading in Scripture, that is what we're saying. He's asking, he knows you want to do it, plan for it, and that's what makes it work. Plans don't fail. People fail to plan anything they do, and they don't want to admit their frustrations, and a lot of them, and that's a shame, because that is not him. If we listen to him and they go to a financial person, I think that gives them balance with the right people mm-hmm. in doing that. I don't know if fear, a little bit of fear is good because it keeps you on your toes, but so is a peace of mind. You know, either play with grandchildren or you don't have children that you work in institutions. You do something that makes you feel good. This happened yesterday. I love this woman. She's terrific. She's in her 70s. I don't know why I keep picking 70s. I got some younger ones up, but that are older. But younger. She came to me, and the first thing I said to her, I said, where are those funny shoes you have? She retired from the healthcare field, and she had these multicolored sneaks. I call them sneaks. They could be shoes. I don't know what they call them. These. I'm not a fashion bug. But she said, well, I bought these for $160. Yeah. And she's retired. Her husband passed away 4 years ago, and she has a son and a daughter. The daughter's impaired in criminal justice program, which is not good. The other is a boy, and he's a young man, and he's got a business. He works in a business, excuse me. And so that started the day. And she's been a client of ours for about 7 years. So anyway, she comes in with these funny shoes. She sits down, and I lay it out for them to bring certain things to me, even when we update things. And I went through, and I said, what do you think of this? And why are you doing that? I get them to think about it. Again, it's not me. It's about them hearing what thoughts need to be done so that they can be better stewards. They do. Well, it was interesting because she knows that she has a hard time with the checkbook. She knows that she doesn't like to keep bothering her son or me, for that matter, and that's not a problem. But she didn't know all to what she wanted to be when she grew up. So I said to her, what do you want to do? She said, well, I guess I have to work to make money. I said, no, not really. No. She said, well, I don't know what I'd like to do. I said, okay, let's throw some things out. How about working at a bookstore? Go to a bookstore today. It's got all ages and flavors there to work. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, maybe. I said, what about, we must have gone through maybe half a dozen things. But she brought it up. And she's giving me credit for it, which is wrong. And I told her, you thought about this. Now you want to work on this. And I'll work with you. And there's people out there that want to, you know, be looking for part-time or full-time. It's all about stewardship. It's all about being what's right. And I think with faith at your side, without works is dead. So you got to shake it up, and you got to put more prayer. You pray every day. Great. Well, do it. Keep doing it, and do more of it. Might not hit you the first day, but if you ever heard the terminology, what they call coincidences, if you don't think a coincidence is God touching you on the shoulder, then you better keep reading the book and asking for more answers, because that's exactly what I hear from more people today when they go out there and try to find something they feel comfortable about.
Well, I'm just thinking, Don, about the prosperity gospel we hear a lot on television, you know, that we deserve to have money. If you pray hard enough, you'll have money. So what is your take on this?
Well, I think it's a personal thing what people think and how they define what wealth is. Some people feel that they have enough, and therefore it's not the issue. The majority of people today do not think that. They think they should have it, and they keep working towards it, and they keep spending things for things that maybe they don't need versus things they do need, and they don't want to spend the money for some strange reason. It's very hard to disseminate, but it's an all individual thing of how they feel with their money or with their assets. Are they going to be happy? I think it was asked one time of Rockefeller, one of the Rockefellers, if he had enough money. And he said, no, never had enough. And I thought that was very interesting. So he had to keep working. I guess he kept working. I don't know. But that's not the answer. Is it that you have enough or you don't have enough? If you have enough, then focus on other things, like charitable events or taking walks or doing things with your children. I mean, what's enough for you and me? Each thing is the individual for what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a house, you got a house. If you couldn't afford the house but you want to move into an apartment, you could. Those are the things that you need to think about going forward. Not necessarily how much money is out there, but how what you can do for the basic things. I was talking to a woman today in Florida. She's been retired a long time. And if you read her work history and her health history, my God, she's had issues all her life medically. And she performed star-wise by doing the things that that people wouldn't even think of doing. Everybody told her she's too old or she's too young. Whatever it is that they can come up with, she said they kept throwing it at me. But she outgrew that because where her faith was is what got her to where she is today. And when she calls, we have conversations about different subject matter that pertain to her life or other people's life or somebody that needs some help. Where would you go and what would you do? There's certainly plenty of books out there. I don't need to dwell on that one, but I will get you that other book.
Well, speaking of the other book, Don, we're going to go to a station identification break, and we'll be back in a moment.
Okay.
Thank you.
Are you there?
We thank God for our one, holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church, where Jesus remains present to us until the end of the age, in word and in sacrament. Catholic Radio shares in the ministry of the Church to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. And in his sign, Catholic Radio, has been doing so for over 30 years. Kathleen McCarthy and In His Sign have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring the fire of God's healing love to the world through Catholic radio and the internet. With God's grace, His word goes out, healing hearts and transforming lives. In His Sign proclaims the culture of life loud and clear in a culture of death. The ministry's mission is to evangelize, catechize, and to be a voice for those who have no voice, proclaiming the truth that will set all people free. To our faithful family and friends who stand with us, thank you for being missionaries with us by supporting In His Sign Catholic Radio. Without your monthly support of prayer and financial giving, our mission would not be able to continue. Our mission voice would be silenced. To our new listeners, please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010, or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, and the program is Thy Will Be Done. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, and our special guest today is Donald W. Nicholson from Donald W. Nicholson & Associates in Delaware. He is nationally recognized, and his firm is nationally recognized, and we're talking about stewardship and our faith journey in terms of how we live with our time, talent, possessions, relationships, and tithing. Don, did you have the opportunity to find the book that you were talking about?
Yes, I did. I was not going to go without doing that. It's called Raising the Financially Fit Kids, and it's written by Jolene Godfrey. And basically, it's the show of it's a financial education, and it's just not about money. It's about budgeting and raising self-confident children who have the tools to realize their dreams. This book is a simple example that one of my youngest daughter's children, I asked my daughter, "Are you reading the book? Are they reading the book?" And it's not a novel, and it's not a 13-chapter book. It's a book on development, how to look at things, do things, and feel good about yourself. And my daughter took me around the side of her refrigerator. On there was what they call a spreadsheet, and it was between her older brother and herself, younger, to see who was going to take the trash out. He didn't want to take the trash out, so he didn't get the allowance. She did. She's got more money in the bank than anybody at that age would have. You know, thousands of dollars. I don't mean it that way. But the reality is that they're communicating. And she's knowing what to do as he's learning what to do. And that's what was good about that book. I read a lot of books, and it's the best one I've ever seen written just for kids. As a matter of fact, the book starts with a certain age group. It starts from 5 all the way to 21. And I said to the young man, because the father said, I need a book that talks about finances so my son understands it. So I said, okay, well, here's the thing. You're going to read the book from the beginning to the end. And he said, why would I do that? I'm not 5 years old. He didn't say that. But you need to learn what your parents went through to get you where you're at. And that's the journey and why I want you to read from 5 years of age to your current age, where you're 22. That's why. And I think that's, you know, where that, you know, comes into play, where that works. And he did. He has read it, and it's worked well. But it's a good book.
You know what, Don? I think you need to write a book, you and your son, Raising the Financially Fit Adult. Just take off of the one Raising the Financially Fit Kids and put in the word adults.
Well,
simplify it.
My wife's in that picture, too, and I got to say that she's sometimes got the patience. I'll say just the good side, the patience of Job. But I do. But we learn from the children learn from that, and that's the important part. We're celebrating our 50th anniversary next year, and I like to do something for the whole family, so that they know what it's all about, good and bad times, so they can all celebrate that. So we'll see how that works out. I'll let you know.
Don, I would love you to talk a little bit because we're approaching Lent. You know, the power and the purpose of tithing.
Well. Tithing, to me, has always been a stumbling block because it became man-made when they said there's a certain percentage you have to give. So that means the person doesn't have as much, then they really feel like they're on a guilt trip. My take on that is you do what you feel you can do, and you'll take care of the rest. Whether it be the poor box at the back of the church, or you're even helping somebody. It doesn't have to be monetary, but you're helping somebody. Tithing... But it's been around for a long time, and it started way back, you know, in history. And I think that we should tithe, because if we don't tithe, it doesn't grow. It's sort of like fertilizer, and I don't mean that as a negative analogy here, but it grows the food that we need to do, the things that it makes us feel good. It doesn't mean if you got a dollar, that's not a bad thing, more than it's $1,000 or $10,000. A lot of money last year was given to charities. Okay, it was, you know, why that? Well, because people want to do those things. And I think there's a realm to it. The thing you don't want to do, in my opinion, is overload. I had, was I was referred to a prospective client. She was 92, and her doctor referred her to me because she had anxiety. She was a widow, but she had anxiety over what she was doing. She had 19 charities, and she was crying. There's no reason for her to be that way. And so we talked, and we went down and we looked, and we closed it down. And she still had five there, and that's what we stayed with. So she died at 105. So she was good steward, but she was getting to the point where it was hurting her. And that's what I think about. The problem with that is that we're hoarding too much wealth, and we're not cooperating with it. Well, you know what? It all depends on what you can afford. If it's $10, that's your $10, and you can afford it. If you can't, you know, God doesn't punish you. He doesn't. The question earlier on was about being spiritually bankrupt, and how much do you have deposited in your spiritual bank? Well, you know, you have $100, or you have $1,000, or you have hundreds of thousands of dollars. Whatever it is, if it makes you feel good, then give and do something for that. You know, seeing how we use money is important to God, too. And there's no federal law on how you do that. Stewardship of your possessions, which was part of the thing we talked about today,
mm-hmm.
And being a faithful steward of not only just of money, but of your time and talents. Well, you know, it comes back, at least when you least expect it. If you look for something to get out of it right away with the money you give, I wouldn't count on it, because it takes time. Just like planting a flower out in the backyard, it takes time. The seed's got to be put up, and it's got to be nurtured to grow. Same thing in what you do in the financial world, but also what you do in the tithing of monies to the church. Regardless of what's going on and all the things that are going on in the churches, is what you pray for the betterment of what they do in the churches, so it gets there. Finance is part of that, and that's the way to look at it.
Don, talk to some of our listeners who may have maybe $100 in the bank, and that's mm-hmm. it. And they can't relate to the 92-year-old or the two 76-year-old women that you were talking about.
Sure.
But they can relate to what you're saying, and they take a portion of that $100, maybe Social Security, and they give it to their parish. And biblically, you know, you said it goes back a long time. Well, it goes back to the time of Christ, you know, tithing and the importance of tithing. But talk to the listener now who maybe lives on Social Security and what they can do to really work with some type of charity in their heart, their parish. What would you suggest?
Wow, nothing like an easy question. thanks,
Well, you're awesome.
No, but I think that, I'm not sure. I think I can answer that in some respect there as to what's enough. If it's enough that you got $100,
mm-hmm.
then that's what it is. And what you do with it is where the reward comes in. Do you buy, not the lady I gave an example on the sneakers, but if you buy, and she felt guilty about those sneakers, I told her not to worry about it. And she buys them every so often. Well, I think that if you discipline, you know, the old days it used to be, and I'm talking the old days when we came over from our foreign countries, we were all from. It was where could you put the money to build on it? And you put it in envelopes to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing that now with somebody who called on my website. He called me, and he's only 29 years old. And he was trying to find out what he wanted to do, didn't know what to do with a financial advisor and all that stuff. We got through all that noise, and we talked. He was in a wrong place for himself. Not where he lived, but he felt indifferent about his financial well-being, his quality of life was all about. And I've only known him for 2 years, and I was giving him just conversations when he had an opportunity, wanted to talk. There was no schedule of anything. There was no cost in there. Whatever it was, I vacated all that from his mind. He's now working in the Peace Corps.
Really?
How that works. There you go. And the value is not in the dollar. It's what you do with the dollar. And that's what he did. Made the call, did the work, and he's a happy camper.
Oh, I want you to say that again. The value is not in the dollar. Say that again, Don.
Value is not in the dollar, it's in the person. Always is. And having who knows who gave us that dollar is the man upstairs. You know, he's the one that gives that dollar. But the value of the person to figure that out. And the only value we get that is at church, yes. Bible studies, of course. They're all there. Bible studies, matter of fact, they started years ago in the homes, and they moved to the churches. It would be nice to move them back to the homes, because then there's more interconnection in working in churches and Bible study. But the value is there because of what you believe in, and that's where you go with it and getting that. He doesn't want you not to have the things you want to have. It's the patience. We live in such a copper world where everybody's moving around fast enough to gather and gain anything they possibly can. That's not the way he started out with all of us. It's gotten, Satan has stepped in to do things to make our journey worse than it is. It's not that we can't live, it's not that we can't give out God's hand. And put it, I guess, maybe differently, as we give out unlimited resource, actually giving him his hand to others.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he wants. Again, we live in this world of accumulation. If we don't have it, we feel bad. If we have some, we want more. That's not the way he did it. That's not the way it was set up. That was not stewardship.
Well, I want to switch gears a little bit.
Mm.
I want you to tell our listeners, you know, we see the stock market rising to record levels.
Oh,
you know, I know I'm going to owe you a coffee. I'm going to owe you a big coffee.
You're kidding me. Okay. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm interrupting you.
Well, this is your expertise. You've been soft. You've been very spiritual. But it's time to hit the pavement here, Don Nicholson.
Yeah.
The stocks are real high right now. People are investing, but we still have all those Social Security people and people behind the scenes scared. So talk a little bit about, if you have just a minute, on annuities, which are being pushed down the throats of so many people on television. And every day I get a card in the mail about annuities.
Well, okay, let me see if I can go back to the basic and come forward to that.
Okay.
Response. I think with, it is with people, and just like I said about children, putting some monies away, not making it the only thing to do, but preparing themselves for the future, where they are going, and how they use the money to be in better stewards, and not being hit by salesmanship. Now, when you get into salesmanship, it's a different whole arena, because how are they helping me? Now, it's not to say that annuities are the worst thing, the bad thing, if they can't do something, but are they the right vehicle for me? What am I trying to accomplish? Well, I want to save money. Well, okay, and they're telling you that you're going to earn a certain interest rate. I think that's fine. But is it, how good is that interest rate, and what's it cost me to have that interest rate? You know, when I talk with in the investment side of things, what's it costing us to buy that investment, mutual fund, stock, whatever? What's it costing us? Because if I'm looking at a yield of 4%, and I don't take into consideration, I'm making this up, 1% of cost, I'm netting 3%, not 4%. That's a very basic way of explaining that in the way of dollars and cents on that.
Well, it seems like senior citizens are gravitating towards annuities because of television.
Well, they don't want to be bothered, and they don't know, and that's the unfortunate part. They should find somebody and get another opinion. There's a place for them, obviously. We get locally hit with a lot of them in this area, and I think the Latin phrase is "caveat emptor," which means let the buyer beware, and that's absolutely correct. Get an opinion. You know, when somebody comes to us for advice to talk and see if we could do business, they're not paying for me for that hour or 2 hour time, and there are other advisors out there who will do that. But first of all, dealing with the person, making sure that how they get paid. Well, they get paid. They should be paid by fee only, and that's agreeable with you. Or if they're getting paid by products, annuities, mutual funds, et cetera, then you should be told that. That's so important. And that's the first two things you might want to ask somebody in any way of an interview process. That's the first step. The second step there is, okay, what can I do to my stability and my age? I don't have a whole lot of time on this, but the woman came to me. She was doing work for me in one of the charities, And I said to her, one day she said to me, she said, I'm not getting well at what I do, and I know that the doctor says I'm going to be hospitalized, et cetera, for illnesses. And I said, fine. And I said, what do you want to do? She said, well, I think I'm going to have to go into a nursing home because it's going to make sense for to have that stability. I can sell my house. I've got my pension, Social Security. I can go in there. It was a concern for her to make that because she was always, you know, doing her own thing. She did. But in doing that, I asked her, well, let me look at your tax returns. Let me look. She had some of these products you were talking about. And when I was getting the information from the salesman, I wasn't getting the information that was correct for her if I'm making those decisions. And there was nothing we could do. But I figured out that at her age, with the monies that she had coming in from her pension, Social Security, and those annuities, we could tweak them, but the money will last for a longer period of time. And it was coincidental because the insurance person that was selling the product did a good job of selling it, but it wasn't the product for her. And I told him that we have to consolidate them.
Mm-hmm.
There's more to it, but to consolidate them so that she gets a higher fixed income to get her beyond, you know, the normal time living expectancy, and then there'd be something for her children when she died. And I just, again, I can't emphasize enough that it's not to say the products are bad, it's how they're served. And I think, again, asking somebody to talk to is finding out who they're all about, what qualifications that they need to do to talk to somebody about what if there's anything they can do on what they're doing.
All right, I have the second cup of coffee question for you. The stock market is at an all-time high. Do you think it'll last or is it going to crash?
Well, it's certainly not going to crash. I think that's a misnomer. I think that, you know, the media is not one of my favorite subjects. I think, in my opinion only, I don't think that they report the news, they make it. They kept referring to the depression over the recession that we had the last time, and we'll have recessions again. And there's a certain period of time that these recessions come about. But in the recessionary period, there's a positive to it, in the sense that you still can have the income. You might have to take more out of your investments safely, yes. And then about maybe 14 months down the road, when the recession is over, and that is done historically, by the way, that's not a makeup number, that you get back, because with the investments you had, let's say in a mutual fund, the market was down. But as the market goes back, those funds, those little mutual funds will grow. And 13, 14 months down the road should replace some of that what you took out as income. As far as what we're going on with the market now, I'm dating myself, but Lou Rukeyser had a show on Financial Talk Show about 30 years ago, maybe longer. And if his wife's out there, call me and correct me, so I've been using that a lot lately. But he was interviewing John Templeton, and at that time the Dow was at 293. And he asked John Templeton, well, how far up can we go to support the market? How do we get the market motivated and be able to stay up there? He said 25,000, 30,000. And we're looking at 21 or close to, well, I'll say 20 for sure. It's there. And as far as the importance, and it's another conversation itself, the thing about, from a standpoint of the market and all the stuff that's going on, it's a lot of noise. We have it with every election that we've got. Some worse than others, and this one seems to be the one that everybody's getting. But there's two sides to the coin. When he said something about himself, he's right. Because I had two clients that worked for him, one in New York and the other one in Atlantic City. He is nothing like they're talking about. I know that, the two clients of mine. And that doesn't mean he's perfect. We're just not used to that kind of language or how he presents it. And yes, if he's listening, all I would say is focus. I am on his committee to know that he needs to hear, not all the other stuff, you know, but pray for what it is that bothers us the most, and he will find a way to get it through to people to focus on that thing. And we're doing that. We're trying that. And that's all you can do is write to them. I don't know about the Twitter thing. I'm not all in the technology that way. But write to them. Tell them what you're thinking. Because, you know, there's two sides. We're all immigrants, but yet this seems to be a bad thing. Well, the bad thing is we got the bad immigrants, and that's what they're trying to do is send them back. But, you know, okay, that's what he's trying to do. All these people that come out and party for the sake of yelling and screaming and burning things, that's not doing anything. As a matter of fact, it's showing a bad example of our country. And that our country is great. Our country was founded on our forefathers. Well, for Pete's sakes, turn the television off. Don't watch it, you know?
And turn the radio on.
So turn the radio on, 9001 or one of these.
No, no, 800 AM.
Good radio station other than that. I mean, your radio station is a good one. And you're right, two coffees is good. This is a wonderful country. There are things that are happening, but the thing is, you won't get the rat information unless you have somebody you can talk to. But write to him, and by writing to him, he might not answer. But God, you know what? God said, there's no Santa Claus either. But why do we do letters to Santa Claus every year? Send them to him, and he might get one of those.
Yeah, but are you getting the right information? As a financial planner, are you? And other financial planners getting the right information?
I think that they're getting good information, but it's all on how you run your practice. Now, I've been doing this for 40 years. There's other ones who've been doing it 40 years and some longer. I like to read, and I read 15, 20 books of different sorts all year, every year. And I did write the Banking Commission, and I had answers. And I got accolades for it, but I wasn't looking for accolades. I was looking for the banks to have that little lady who goes up to the teller's window that she gets treated with respect and given options. And I've got plenty of those stories that didn't work for some of my older people. And that's why I got involved in co-writing the public policy for the fiduciary standard that's out there. And it wasn't just me alone. There was a group of us that did this to what's best for the client. Mm-hmm. And that is out there, and he has stalled it. It's a DOL. Department of Labor. Well, everybody said, aren't you upset? No, I'm not upset. He just got in. He's only been in there, 60 days of that? you see what he's doing. It's not bad, but he's doing his due diligence. And that's what a good executive would do. If a president from a corporation goes out, another one comes in, he's got to do the same thing. Stop the wheels so I can figure out what's going on so I can go forward with it. And that's exactly what's happening here. And I know that because I've been to Washington, and yes, I do certain things within his transition team, and I see that. What I don't understand is why, the media doesn't lighten up.
Well, it's the history of the media.
Absolutely.
The history of the media. My degree is in journalism and mass communications.
There you go.
And we were taught to be objective, and yeah. I'm astounded. In fact, I don't even watch the news anymore because we had to be objective, you know, the positive and negative. So,
right.
You know, that's why I wanted you on the air today, because we need to put forth the truth. Tell our listeners, Don, and again, you're listening to Donald Nicholson and Associates, your website.
It's.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, another one. We just changed it. I can give you my email. I'll do that.
You that's sure? My-
No, maybe not. But
no, no,
I'll
no.
Do it.
You need. Look,
yeah. Okay.
Just go to. You can search. Do a search engine. It's Donald W. Nicholson. It's NICHOLSON and Associates. If you just do a search engine on it, it will show you the website. I think that's the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, or they can call me. Yes, that's true.
And that's what is your office number?
302. 529-1500.
302-529-1500. Give a call. I mean, he's not looking for business.
No.
But if you have some questions or, you know, anything based on this program, we encourage you to look at his website, Donald W. Nicholson and Associates. I think you will be very, very happy. So, Don, parting words for that third cup of coffee.
Well, I might add before you give me that is that your radio station is one of the better ones I've seen. And obviously, I'm in the media a lot on radio and TV, or used to be. I try to cut back on that because I like to be number two person, not be down and all this other stuff. But we know God doesn't make trash, and I don't serve junk. So that's a good thing. So what were you going to say?
Well, a parting message of hope for those who are confused about the market, and just a quick message of hope for all those listening.
The hope is within your heart, and you need to open it up to him to know more. And he doesn't have emails up there, and he certainly doesn't do phone calls, communication, but he does communicate. And you just got to really believe in what it is he wants. No matter how hard it is, he wants you to be stronger. If it's a loss of a loved one, or even with a financial thing, it's a loss. And you need to do the prayers to make it work. And it does. And it doesn't happen overnight. As far as the worlds go, we've been through World War I, II. What stats would you want to know? Our navies have been the worst it's been since 19th century, but now they're changing it. We have a president that's a little out of the box. We have some other ones we can talk about if you wish, but not. He's trying to do a job, and they need to let him do it. They need the right media people, at least the people they interview, to stop bashing. You could pray for them. They need your hair. They need your prayers. This media is, you heard from Ann. It's not what it is, and it shouldn't be.
Well,
and people shouldn't be shooting people, and people should not be doing a lot of things. And they're stressed, but they're upset. The way you upset is to go in a closet or go in a room and just pray and be quiet with
go
it.
To adoration.
Or do something that's relaxing to you.
All right, Don. I have to cut you off. You're going to have your own radio program someday.
Thank you, ma'am.
Well,
thank you
for being with us, Donald W. Nicholson. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Listen, I'm going to give you some scriptures to ponder. Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. Matthew 25. Ephesians 4, 11. Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 11. Again, we just heard from Donald Nicholson. It was a full platter of information, and I sure hope you enjoyed it. Next week, we have Dr. Carol Houghton, and we're going to be talking about the subject that all of you have wanted us to talk about, annulments. She is a canon lawyer. We're going to hit some tough questions, and I know, dear friends, that you will love it. Until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady wrap you in her mantle. God bless you.